Imagine a government-to-citizen relationship that supported the citizen being able to access and use information across domains, to choose a neighborhood, to understand the personal impact of proposed legislation, or to scrutinize a candidate's record. The government, in turn, could use that channel to inform, represent, consult with, and involve the citizen, as well as to encourage voting participation and other positive civic involvement. While citizens today do have tools to access and use critical government data, and advocacy organizations are pushing for even more transparency, this vision of e-government is still a long way off.
Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like linguistics, technology, game and object design, and ethics. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
We're joined today by Peter St. Cyr, the director of Open Access New Mexico, a nonprofit that advocates for access to online government information and provides training and tools for data-driven citizen engagement. Peter is an experienced journalist with a long history of investigating political corruption. He has been recognized for excellence by the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, the New Mexico Broadcasters Association, the Associated Press, and the Society of Professional Journalists. He has contributed stories to ABC News, Fox News, CNN, the Santa Fe Reporter, and to online news portals like NM Politics and NM In Depth. He was a co-founder of the Southwest Center for Investigative Journalism and is the former director of the New Mexico Foundation for Open Government. And for the past year, he's been advocating for an Open Data Act. Peter, before we get into some of the stuff that you've been working on so heavily, it seems like, can you just give us a quick background about your history, how you got into what is now, I guess, the open government data movement? Is it a movement?
I would say that it is. The data especially is new in the fact that in the old days, records were always, you know, printed out on paper and were something tangible that you could hold. And with the advent of computers and electronic storage, there's this invisible realm of electronic ones and zeros, and those ones and zeros are where the new records are. And the government does a good job of collecting records. They don't do a good job of distributing the electronic records. And so I got involved as a journalist when I moved back to New Mexico in the early 2000s, and was often told by newsmakers, we don't want to talk about this in the press, or we don't want to try this story in the press.
When you mean this story, you mean talking about data?
Just any kind of news story that we are pursuing. And that's where I learned first about records and our fundamental rights as citizens to go get records. It's been in the last couple of years that I've sought data. But the records are kind of the new gold rush, because I think that information equalizes the playing fields between the rich and the powerful and the elite and community citizen groups or individuals who want to improve their lives or make their community better.
So for you personally, this was sort of an outgrowth of your investigative journalism.
Records have facts that are in black and white, and we didn't have to wait for some political operative working for their boss to add their take and their spin, that we could just make our own inferences from what we saw in the records as facts.
It's an actual record that is, in a sense, incontrovertible, or hopefully incontrovertible, because it's factual and it may have been gathered by a non-interested party, for example, as opposed to, like you say, waiting for someone to come and give you their spin or to lie to your face or their perspective, which may be only a partial story.
I can give you a good example of how that worked here in New Mexico recently. There was a state senator that was a realtor. He was brokering a deal that was the sale of a state building for his friends, hoteliers in Santa Fe, that had already leased this building. He had recruited some colleagues in the House and the Senate to carry a bill that was necessary to sell the state building to his friends. the lawmakers that were recruited were told by the state senator that the state was paying a huge amount of money every year in maintenance of this former state parks building that had been leased already by the hoteliers. The problem was the document showed in the lease that the hotelier was responsible for all the maintenance. There was no cost to the state of New Mexico. And what lawmakers were being told, we need to sell this building because the annual cost of maintenance are $250,000 or more a year, just was blatantly false.
So I'm curious how easy it was to get that document. I mean, is there a single place in New Mexico you can go to request information?
That's a really good question. And I will tell you that in a lot of cases, if they don't want you to find the facts or they don't want to be scrutinized, they'll make it difficult for you to get the record.
Just so I'm clear, they... So in this sense, you mean a government or civic entity?
Right.
Is that what we're talking about?
Okay. Exactly. Every agency has a records custodian that provides records to the public upon request. The state has a law called the Inspection of Public Records Act. It is a really good law. Lawmakers declared it to be the state policy because they understood that an essential element and function of government employees in a democracy is to provide citizens with information so that we can watchdog, so that we can participate, and we can identify waste, fraud, abuse, and at times corruption. There are only 8 exemptions that they can legally deny you access to the records. And they're pretty good exemptions. You know, we don't want our personal information to be released by the government. And they do a good job, actually, of protecting our privacy. You know, I don't want people to have my social security number, my date of birth, because I don't want my identity to be stolen. That's a good exemption, and we can all agree to it. There are some times when they want to withhold records because of, in the federal level, national security, at the state level, an ongoing police investigation. You don't want the bad guys to know that they're being watched or the tactics that are going to be used in order to stop a crime. There are other exemptions that make sense. But the courts have ruled in New Mexico that citizens have a presumptive right to know and that secrecy is a very rare exception.
I'm also curious, it's going to be 2020, or it is 2020 by the time this drops. Aren't a lot of these records digital at this point? I mean, in a sense, I would hope or would think that a lot of this is data, or at least what I think of as data now, and not traditional paper
records. And that is going to benefit the citizens in a huge way.
But is that the case, though?
Yes.
Is most of this stuff digital now?
A lot of it is. New Mexico is about 20 years behind forward-leading states like Washington, New York, California. And we have a lot of catch-up to do. I'm not necessarily worried about it. Initially, I was when I started Open Access New Mexico. I was looking at best practices around the state and realizing just how far we were behind. And initially, that was concerning to me. But I think that we have leadership in Santa Fe now that understands it. And we're going to avoid a lot of the pitfalls and mistakes that the other states made going through. And we can catch up really quickly.
In terms of digitizing stuff.
In terms of access to digital catalogs.
Okay.
And that, when the information is digitized and in a data catalog, you'll be able to go online and search a catalog for the information you want. Maybe it's like all the campsites in New Mexico that have trees or all the campsites that have lakes. You'll be able to search, sort, and download. But not only will you be able to target your search at any hour of the day, you'll also be able to immediately link and buy your fishing license at the same time you're getting your camping permit. So it's a beautiful thing that is going to enrich everyone's experience with the government.
So part of what you're looking at in terms of access to what we think of as government or civic data isn't just being able to sniff out lousy real estate deals. It's also just getting the basic work of a citizen done. So that might even be things like, say, if I'm in the city of Albuquerque, getting building permits or being able to pull whatever paperwork I need.
We call
from
it
them.
Civic technology, and it does benefit not only individuals by helping them to improve their lives, but it makes communities a lot smarter.
In terms of what you like to see as open access to government civic data, that stuff is just as important as
Yes. And what we found
the investigative stuff.
It is as important as investigative stuff. We know that transparency, access to hard copy records or electronic, is the best way to identify waste, fraud, and abuse. It's also the best way to improve our lives with those applications. You know, here's another example of being able to search online for information. If you have to put someone you love into a nursing home, you have a responsibility and a due diligence to find the best home for them. And as you know, you walk into any facility, their sales reps and their marketing staff are going to tell you that they are number one in the world, and they're right here in New Mexico. And you think to yourself, every place I went to told me they were number one in the world. Well, how do you have number four number ones in New Mexico? And so then you realize, well, maybe these facilities have to be inspected by the health department. In the past, you would have to write a request to the Department of Health and ask them for the inspection reports. It could take up to 15 days and cost you $1 a page. And if you want consecutive years of reports, that could get really costly. And those costs are a barrier that can cause problems. But when they put the information online, you could search for it on Christmas Eve and realize that three of the four places that told you they were number one in the world may have serious and chronic inspection problems or health problems. And that kind of information is important in making a smart decision on where you're going to put someone. And that information should be online. And in New Mexico, it is not yet online in a way that's usable. We need to get the lawmakers in Santa Fe to approve a data act that would require them to put the information online in a way that could be searched, sorted, and downloaded by anybody.
You're actually bringing up two things that I think are really important. One is the open access to data, besides allowing the citizen to do what they need to do and allowing, say, a journalist or a watchdog to do what they need to do, is the whole idea of opening up this data as a layer that could be leveraged by application developers. If you have all of that stuff in some sort of open access data layer, you can go way beyond just a simple catalog search into letting third parties develop tools that make it even more useful.
And let me tell you how important that social good of technology has become. The government collects the information. They do a really good job. They do a good job of protecting our privacy. They do a bad job of disseminating the information. And it's in the basement in a digital server. And when it is brought out into the sunlight and shared with application developers, then we get these apps that improve our lives. But you know, the first beneficiary of using data are government employees. What we see are barriers and silos coming down and agencies starting to work cross-platform with each other to make more rational decisions about policies. Now we can have a one-stop shop to get our camping permit and our fishing permit all at once, and the user experience online becomes equivalent to what we expect when we go on to a retailer's website.
I have a question about the culture of protecting data. The City of Albuquerque GIS department came out with this great park finder, so you can find parks that have playground equipment or tennis courts or whatever, but they left bathrooms off the searchable things, and they collect that information. They hauled that data. And when I wrote to complain, because I was one of the beta testers, they said, we don't want to make that data public because it will encourage homelessness in those parks. And I've seen this with federal land management agencies too, where they become very protective of certain information because it will make their jobs harder if more people have that information.
I certainly understand their policy rationale, but as a citizen, you have a right to that information. They've collected it, and it is not exempt by any one of the eight exemptions in New Mexico. And so they are required to provide it to you. Maybe not in the app, but now that you have the information, you create your own app. I have a feeling that then the market would decide to use your app and be willing to pay, you know, you a small fee for the app that is more complete than the free app provided by the government. The government has been trying trying to commercialize the data they collect, their rationale is that they need to recover their cost for having collected it. And I think to myself, we've already paid you your salaries in taxpayer-funded money to go collect that information for us, and we already own it.
If you want to learn more about the work Open Access New Mexico is doing, visit their Facebook page and follow them on Twitter at OpenAccessNM. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance by Tristan Clark.